Hello and welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here again. This time with way less people because Mac stock is officially like underway while we're recording this, so we're missing a few people. I'm
Yes.
your interim host, Patrice. Here with the interim host, Ben. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Or at least the supposed to be interim host. But we forgot to do things like check the apps needed and whether things would actually work until Tuesday, until Jeff had to get going to
Yeah, I mean,
Chicago.
still counts because technical difficulties are part of the program here.
Yes.
That's how we work.
So I mean, technically we could have done the big show yesterday, but it would have been my disembodied voice sounding like I was talking to myself.
That would have been funny, actually.
Yeah.
What do we have? We're in stock today. I've been I think we should start with the obvious, right? That's the whole one. 50% of the reason why we're doing a show, the other 50% is, I think, Ben, you and I, we haven't done a show together in a long, long time, right?
Yes.
Deconstruct long time
Yeah,
ago.
I was about to say the last time we probably did a show, just you and me, it was definitely R-rated.
Is there something worse than R-rated? Because I think that would have been us. So
Well,
R plus, I don't know.
NC-17.
NC-70. Yeah, we did. I think that might have been the last time, because usually Jeff is here. So yeah,
Yes.
Jeff.
Well, I mean, with Jerry Street Corner could have been X.
That's true. Yes. That's true. Jeff, Chuck, and Dave, and many, many other people are at Mac Stock this weekend. So yeah, the insane people are running the asylum here. So I think that's
Yes.
what that means, right? So let's start with the obvious. So I have here little, what did you call it? Like a gallon of milk, basically.
Yes, the
Milk
wall,
jug.
the yeah, we have the Sam's Club gallon of milk here that contains Patrice's new sleep mask.
That is true. Yeah. So I went to, as some of you might know, the launch for the Apple Vision Pro in Europe. Well, for the most part, in the what was it, France, UK, Germany, and then Australia, Canada is happening today as we speak. Started this morning. I guess Australia was first. It was just early in the day for them, or for us.
Good day, mate.
Today, I think they've probably already gotten theirs and set everything up and whatnot. So yeah, I went this morning. I had a little bit throughout the week, a little bit of fun with Apple, because I used my Apple Card, and like there was some the first like Apple Pay, something wasn't working. Like the payment didn't go through on the weekend, so I called Monday morning the Apple Store team, and they're like, I couldn't work it out on the website. Because usually you can go in and say, like, try again or put a different credit card, and none of that was working. It's like always airing out something. Never to, it's always like, oh, check your credentials, check with your bank. I'm like, the bank said everything is fine, like should be okay. So yeah, called the Apple Store team. They were like, we don't know either, but let's try again. And they put in the credit card number, and that time it worked. I'm like, yes. So I was like, okay, I'm set for Monday. I saw the charge, the pending charge show up, and I'm like, okay, cool, that should settle it, right? And then on Wednesday, I got an email first, and then also I saw it on the iPhone. Hey, your Apple Card has been locked. And I was like, please call us. And I'm like, shit, what happened? And I'm like, hey, it's kind of suspicious that like. Right after I had that issue with the card, they lock it. I'm like, okay. So I used the chat actually, because I hate calling people. And it took me an hour and a half. Turns out it somehow triggered fraud protection and like account takeover protection. They thought someone had taken over my account. I'm like, no, that was me. I ordered an Apple Vision Pro in Germany. And then like back and forth and confirming things, and I had to change my Apple ID password just to be safe and check the devices and whatnot. And confirm, yes, those two charges are what I expect, and yes, they're correct, and yes, this is okay. And then they were like, okay, all good. So until I think literally Thursday night, I was already in Munich because I booked my hotel and the train. I took from Vienna a train trip to like a 4 hour train trip to Munich and had a hotel there. And I went to like a company party there because why not? I mean, I had to take the days off anyway, but I was like, eh, I got invited to a company party. Yeah, of course I go. Till I think Thursday night, I did not know whether I would be able to pick it up in the morning because it still said that the charge still said pending, the order said preparing. I'm like, okay, I don't know, maybe they haven't charged yet. I don't know what's gonna happen. But then at somewhere like 10, 11 p.m., it went to confirmed you is ready for pickup and everything. I was like, yes, okay. Got it. So yeah, went there this morning. Was really fun experience. And picked it up. And I did the demo. So they asked during the on the check like check in, they asked like, do you want to do the demo or just pick up? And I was like, yeah, I'll do the demo. Like, I mean, wanted them to anyway check the light seal and everything. And I was like, why not do the full thing? I mean, I got time.
Yeah.
Like, my train is
Yes.
leaving in like an hour and a half, so I got time. The train station was like 10 minutes from the Apple store, so not that far. 10 minutes walk. So
Yeah, I'm used to them being like 5 hours away.
yeah, exactly. So that's like nothing basically. The train station or the Apple store? Probably both, right?
Both. Well,
Yeah.
actually the Apple store is slightly closer than the train station. Well,
Wow, okay, that is crazy.
I can go 90 minutes to go to an Apple store in Madison, Wisconsin. My nearest train station is Chicago, the outskirts of Chicago.
Wow. Okay,
Yes.
that is far. The nearest train station here is literally 10 minutes walking distance from my place. So actually, if I count the tram, it's probably more like 1 minute. So that, but
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
US, right?
yeah. Yes, we were supposed to get a train. Then we got a new governor who's like, blah, blah, I don't want you guys having transportation. You
No.
got to drive
Cheap
yourself, or
transportation, no.
you
No.
guys just have to walk.
Yeah, or get a really expensive car. Because that's the American way, right? So yeah, I went to this. So I was in a store. There was a like really nice gentleman who like did the demo with me, and he was like we chatted a little bit, and we were waiting for the. So they bring in not your Apple Vision Pro because that comes fully like packaging and everything still sealed. They have demo units, so they brought one of the demo units, and I was like, kind of thinking, I'm like, how are they gonna deal with like people's faces with the demo units? But they had like a little bit of kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like paper towel almost, like a little bit over the light seal. So like if it presses you against your face, you're sweaty. I mean, I had makeup on, all of that doesn't matter. They just rip that away, throw it away, next one, probably clean it. But so that was actually quite nice. And I can tell you one thing, unless you're the type of person who, when they see the Vision Pro, would be tempted to buy it and don't want to, I would highly recommend going to a store. Book your appointment, go there. It is literally, it was mind-bending. It was so well done. Of course, Apple is going to show you the best things you can. Like, I mean, it's Apple. Like, why would they show you something that's not completely insane? Like, what did we do? So they've like first they during the setup that this it's not the full setup that they do with when you like when that you do when you set up the Vision Pro. They have like a shortened version of that. It's literally just like okay, six dots and like your hands and only one side of your hands, and not the two sides that you do with the Vision Pro later. But it's good enough, like it works. And then like explain to you like how to like we I think we went first into photos and like did the zooming and like all the gestures, and he explained them before and then you do them, and it was really cool. And that was kind of the first like the normal photos, like yeah, okay, looks nice. Then they brought in the spatial photos. And no, they sorry, no, they did the panorama photos. They had one. I was like, oh, actually, that's already pretty looking pretty cool. Like it's almost feeling like you're there, but you can still tell it's kind of flat. So you're like, okay, it's still. And then they had two spatial videos. And the first one they did in the Photos app, and that was, it was the birthday party, like a family and birthday party, and there's a cake in the foreground. That looked really realistic. That was, I mean, I was looking at the cake and I'm like, I want a piece of that. Maybe if I
Yes.
was hungry, I don't know. But I was like,
In
wow.
fact, we are now ending the stream so we can go get cake.
Oh, that's an idea. I need cake.
Bye. See you as a host.
TSO was fine. Yeah. So that was already pretty impressive. And I could totally see that being in the future, like once you have more of those like videos and photos and so on, it being more impactful on people. Because it really felt like, because you had the comparison, you had a photo. And then you had the video, or you had like a yeah, it's kind of the video itself, sure, is different, but it just feels, because you have the depth and everything, it just feels real. And that's really crazy. And it's like kids running around screaming and all of that. So it's felt quite real. I don't even remember what the second video was, but it was one taken with the iPhone spatial video. So the birthday thing, I think, was one that they produced, I assume. The other one was taken with an iPhone 15 Pro, and I think it was a scene somewhere outside, like some national park, probably in the US. I don't remember exactly. Sorry, there's a thunderstorm going through here right now. It's windy.
It happens.
Yeah, it's just weather. But it was, I was like, huh, I think I have to take more of those now, because it was really interesting and really impressive. And you could see, like, because you could move around a little bit and see like certain things, it was really cool. So that was kind of the photos thing. And then they went to the TV app. And there were actually two things that they showed. The first one was they showed found the Foundation trailer, so you had to navigate there, pick the
Oh.
trailer, and they showed the trailer from Foundation. And it looks, and they were like, looks cool, right? I'm like, yeah, but I've seen the show, so I'm like, sure,
Yes.
like, okay, I got it. But it looked good. It looked really good. And then they had a, was that the one? No, actually, yeah, they had me, they had an immersive, no, sorry. For this video, they turned on the theater mode. So it really looked like you're sitting in the theater. And I looked up and down, and you could, like, you, it really felt like you're in the theater. So that was actually pretty cool. That's true, because they had me stop the video, like the trailer in the beginning, like open it, start it, or it starts automatically, pause it, go to the theater mode, and then continue. And that was really impressive. I'm like, I can totally see myself watching a lot of videos and TV shows like that. You have your own, literally your own like theater at home.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you're a single person and do not need inputs, this can replace your TV, no question.
Yes. Actually, that's what I'm banking on, because that's one of the big use. I mean, other than it's really expensive for that, so this is not the only use case, but it is one of the bigger use cases for me, because I watch a lot of content. So
Yes.
that was really cool. And then we did, there's a special spatial video, immersive video thing that Apple did. And that was the only thing I can, it blew my mind. And there's one thing that I personally found really interesting. There was a baby. It was multiple scenes. So they showed like I think ba basketball games, and I think some other, I think some soccer and whatnot, like different things that you could experience. But there was one thing with like, I think, a family, and there was like a baby like on and like a little stro like a not a stroller, like one of those like seats with wheels that they could like walk around a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was coming towards you. And you could see, and that was so, for me, so funny. So an apple-like, but so real. You could see the little bit of saliva dripping down on the baby's face in like full on 3D. You can see it as if you're there. And I'm like, wow, that
Yes,
was
come
really
on.
cool.
Get yourself kids. Sell have a sell more products.
Yes. Yeah, but that was for me. There was in that in this immersive video, and I think I'll watch it again. There was plenty of really cool things, but that for me somehow like stuck out. I'm like, hey, there's like a baby, and it's like as if the baby is in front of you. So that was pretty cool. And then we did one of the environments where you like basically you turn the digital crown, and then like it basically removes everything, and you get like you're in a 360 degree virtual environment basically. And it was trying to remember what it was. I think it was one of the national parks, I think. I actually don't remember which one, what they showed me, but it was also pretty actually. No, it was, I don't remember, some mountain. But it's really cool, like because you can literally like see like it's a video, so it's not like a wallpaper fixed, it's literally video. So you see like the waters rippling, there's like rain coming down, there's sounds and noises like birds chirping, like other things, and you can literally turn around and look at everything and like see the like look down and you see like the gravel and all of that. So it's, I mean, for a demo, real cool. I don't know how important that will be long term, or but I could like, I was thinking when I saw that, I was thinking of Ready Player One
Yeah.
and Ready Player Two, and I think that's a good comparison. That's literally the virtual world. Like if you had now other people and games and all, like the whole universe,
Yes, if
this would be
Apple
it.
would actually get with games in VR. Yes. Yes. Phil Schiller, I am talking to you.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that was, as I said, quite, that was, I was really thinking about that, and I'm like, this kind of feels like ready, like the very beginning. It is, I don't think high resolution enough. That's something I noticed, that like especially in the distance you can see
Yeah.
like that it's not, it is 4K-ish, but it's not enough, like it's not as if you felt it was 100% real.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell this is a device
Yes.
that is designed to start the conversation.
It's not the end.
Apple knows this is not mainstream yet.
No.
This is essentially the closest thing you'll ever get from Apple to a public beta or to a public alpha.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's a beta. I it is. It is definitely polished enough that I would say it's a public beta, okay for normal people, but it's very clearly just the beginning. It's kind of, I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of like the iPhone in the beginning. It lacked quite some features, was quite rough around the corners, but yeah, you could use it and it was fine. And I think I feel like that as well. That's it.
In
So.
the in light yeah in like the iPhone, this is eventually going to get cheaper, lighter, and more powerful.
Yeah, especially more powerful. I mean, the leaps they had to take for this are already impressive. But I mean, as we've discussed in like previous shows, Apple's already working on the second and probably the third iteration. Like they know, and also potentially other versions of it and whatever else they have in stock and planned. Like this takes years, and I'm pretty sure it has been in the making for many years already.
And I mean, they had to get it out at this stage basically
Yes.
for development purposes.
And not just that. At some point, you have to ship. You can keep polishing it. You can keep working on it, and it's not gonna get that much better, because at some point you need the real world. You need the real feedback. You simply also for yourself need to ship it. It's like with software. I had literally the same discussion with some of my developers this week, when they were like, oh, but yeah, this is problem and this is not 100%. The people building something like this, whether it's software or hardware, they always know where the problems are. They know exactly what's broken and what's not working and what could be better. They know what's coming next also.
Yeah.
At some point, you just have to ship it and say, okay, it's ready. Like, good
Yeah.
enough. Get it out there, get feedback from real people, and then they will tell you what's actually important. I mean, think about
Yeah.
it. What did we get on the Apple Watch in the first version? How much of that is still important today? Almost nothing.
Yeah.
It's
I
like,
mean, the only thing that's really le left from the Apple Watch Series 0 is the basic form factor.
yeah, and I mean a little bit short is just like the watch face design with like different things you can do with it. That's kind of a base pattern that they've kept. But I think everything else is kind of changed. Like,
Yeah.
where are friends these days? Like, walkie-talkie, all of that. Like, nobody talks about that.
Yeah, nobody ever used those.
Exactly. Well, that's not true. I did use them like 5 times with Jerry and
Yeah.
so on. So.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, I mean the stuff you see that's missing now, I can almost guarantee will make it there. Because at some point, if they are going to get serious with gaming in this thing, which will be a major way to sell it when there's actually a consumer version, they're going to need physical hand control support. But that's not something that they need right now.
I mean, I'm 100% with you. I think the it already does support like controllers, like the standard whatever
Yeah.
PS. Five, I think, is the current one. So yeah, that's how much I know about that.
Yeah.
Controllers, I think, are supported, or was it Xbox? I don't remember. There's some that are supported these days, but I think yes, for certain, I think in general you need a general controller support. There could be
Yeah.
even things like whatever, have a lightsaber. Why not? Like.
I know. I mean, it's one of those things where I think Apple knows they have to get better support with the companies that are making VR games, especially Valve. Before they enter these things, because let's be honest, with the current controller support, adding like Quest or PlayStation VR controllers or something maybe they come up with themselves wouldn't be all that hard. It's the laying the groundwork for the software for that and developer relations, which, yes, Apple, you have an issue with. Now
Yes,
that's the problem.
but they know that, and that's why you see them so heavily pushing. I mean, the last couple of years, they've been heavily pushing both on the software and hardware side, and also on the relationship side, the gaming side. Still not 100% there, but you see it, like with Game Conversion Kit and the version 2 that came out this year, is coming out this year. And I mean, some major titles that are available now because they made it so easy to do on their devices that. People that they're saying, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, not only that, but they did something that Apple has not been entirely known for. They listened. The developer said, "Hey, Apple, we need AVX2 support. We need it now." They're like, "Okay, we'll make it a priority." And I have absolutely no idea how they're doing that to the level where it actually works and works well, but they found a way and they implemented it. Within a year. That's seriously impressive.
So that's, I mean, I hope that I really, really do hope that's coming because, as I said, like, for me, this is the step towards, like, Ready Player One and the whole thing. Like, for good
Yeah.
or worse, we'll see, but we're going there.
Yeah. And let's be honest, whether you call it mixed reality, XR or spatial computing, gaming will be in a very important part of that future of the platform.
Yes, but and that's also something that I see more and more. I think the like business related use cases, there are
Oh,
plenty
yeah.
of them. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
and I talked a little bit about like with the people in the store about the medical field because it's kind of my area,
Yeah.
like medical software. I mean, there have been already, I think, the first two surgeries done with the Apple Vision Pro. I know from other people like airlines, they're looking for like maintenance tasks and so on. I mean, this is super early days. I mean, those companies have had them for 8, 9 months now, I think, because some of them got them like really early. We've seen in the last one of the latest keynotes when they talked about Epic. No, yeah, was it Epic or Cerner? I don't remember. One, not Epic Games, but
Yes,
the
we're
medical
talking about
company.
the medical company out of Madison, Wisconsin.
Exactly. And what they're doing with that, like for like doctors and so on in hospitals. So that's for me super interesting.
Yes. And I think that's a big reason why Apple launched with the Apple Vision Pro instead of the Apple Vision, because I mean, at this point in the game and at this price point, enterprise makes a lot more sense than home
Yeah,
users.
and it honestly, I do not think they could have gone down. I mean, not with the quality that Apple that is expected from Apple and that Apple wants and expects from themselves even. I don't think they could have built a, at least not today, could have built a cheaper version. Like, I mean, for sure, we know the like Meta has done it, and Oculus, and some other companies. Like there is, it is possible to build cheaper versions, but I don't think not with Apple's standards.
And I mean, at this point, at least on the consumer software side, the Quest does surpass the Vision Pro in a couple areas.
Yeah. I mean, it has also had more time for that. So
More time, better support. So, I mean, when they come after what is essentially the mixed reality market leader, Apple wants to have all their ducks in a row, and right now they're still trying to gather all those ducks.
I think they do have that. They do have them. I mean, as I said, I'm pretty impressed with this version that we got. And I mean, I got the software 1.2 version, so I don't have 1.3 or 2.0. So this was literally, this is how it shipped. I did also the, and I've done that like on the train like 2 or 3 times because it was one of the only things I could do without like good internet connections. The dinosaur thing. I don't remember what it's called.
Jurassic
We've
Park.
heard, yeah, kind of, yeah. It's actually pretty fun. I mean, I think like after 2 or 3, 4 times, you're like, okay, seen it, done it, it's fun. But the first like once or twice, you're like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. It's interacting with you, and like you feel like, hey, there's a scary predator in front of you, and you're like, and yeah, I mean, sure, you know it's not real, but it still kind of works. So it's a really cool. I it's as a demo case for what this is capable of for other companies to then step in and say, okay, let's do, I think Marvel with What If did and so on, like, okay, let's build something kind of like that, but better, bigger, all of that, more real. So that was pretty cool.
It does the job.
I had a little talk with, I asked them about the developer's trap. They hadn't even heard of it, so that was fun. I was like that they like the store personnel didn't know about it, and then they got someone, and he was like by the accent. We spoke German, but I think he was from Ireland because he had like an English accent. So I'm assuming it was Ireland because that's where Apple would be in Europe anyway. But he spoke German, and we like he was like he's heard of it. More by accident, apparently. He saw it somewhere on some website or something. It's like, yeah, it's not available yet. And I'm like, huh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. So,
It's like 1-800 Chuck.
yeah, so that's one of the things not available in Europe. But I mean, we could get that, it's not a problem. Ship it from the US. Yeah, but it was interesting that the store, the people in the store, that where I would have expected that some of the developers would, like me, ask about it, that they would at least have an answer and say, okay, not available yet or coming soon or whatever, that they at least gotten some training about it. It's nothing. Like they didn't even know it existed. And I'm like, that's interesting. Yeah. So there's a little thing Apple where you could work on. Like, That's an obvious question. Yeah, but as I said, other than that, it was really, really, really positive experience. I mean, they got then like they got my order, got delivered, the usual thing that you have in the Apple Store. We had to check like the like whether like after the demo, which I think is also good to do the demo when you're doing the pickup, because it will tell you whether like the light cushion and everything that you have is the right fit. Because by using it and like it sits on your face for like 20 minutes or whatever, you will realize if there's a problem. For me, there wasn't. You have 2 weeks to replace it. So I would have to go to Munich, but I could get it replaced. So it's not far. It's 4 hours by train. It's not that far. So it's cheap. Yeah. So that was kind of my experience. I took it to the train, and I do not recommend doing that. It was a mess. And it's not Apple's fault. In this version, train support is anyway not in. That's coming in 2.0. So the 1.2 I had, I did set it up at the train station still because I had like 20 minutes. The train was already there because it's only going from Munich to Vienna. So it was already there. I could sit in the train, like quite comfortable, and set it up. But you have Wi-Fi, but it's kind of not really working all that great. And then at some point, the train started moving. And
Wow,
then,
wait, trains move?
yes, they do. And then, like, the window starts falling, like, really, like, smashing into your face and whatever. And you get error messages, hey, I can't track anything anymore, and all of that. And I think it got even stuck. Like, at some point, because it does have the travel mode that's on planes, and somehow that got triggered, I guess. At some point, it was like, oh, do you want to enable travel mode? I'm like, yes. But then nothing was working. I couldn't get the home screen. I couldn't get anything. None of the apps, nothing was working. I was literally staring into the void. So I had to reboot the device, and then it worked. And I did use it a little bit, but as I said, limited with like you can't download your apps, you can't do a lot because the Wi-Fi on the train is not great. So,
So you didn't use what Jacob Pog refers to as percussive maintenance?
no, I did not. That I doubt that would have helped all that much. So yeah, but as I said, so I used it on the train. As I said, the little things I could do without good internet, like there was one that's actually quite impressive, I would say, from Apple's perspective, that they included something like some s little things that you can do even if you don't have connectivity. So the dinosaur thing, I could do again. I did meditation, which was really good. There's with Sky. If you're in Fitness Plus, you probably know her from like a couple of other things. She does a lot of yoga videos and some mindful cool downs and
No.
so on.
Do I
So
look like I'm on Fitness Plus?
I don't know. Maybe you are. So she like she sh there was one included, downloaded or already shipped. Like mindfulness session, 5 minutes. So I did that. That was actually really cool. And that's something that I have not heard people talk about a lot, but I found it really impressive. So it starts with like a kind of, I think you've seen that, like kind of like a flower, like you have little petals that form like a ball that looks like a flower. And you're starting in AR mode. So it's just sitting in your like vision. And then you start breathing, and she starts like very slowly getting you into it. And then it's like the petals kind of move out as you're breathing, and then the whole environment darkens, and you're sitting literally in your own little black bubble with the really colorful like flower petals all over like the
Oh,
place.
that's cool.
And that was really impressive, and it's so subtle. It's not like it just subtly moves from like AR mode to VR mode basically, and then you're like doing your thing. And then at the end, the same thing happens again. Like it goes all very, very slowly back, so that you slowly get reintroduced into the real world, basically. And that was super impressive. And I've not been a huge user of the mindful stuff on the Apple Watch or the iPhone because I get distracted, and
Yes.
I'm always like I started and then I'm doing something else and I never stick to it. But I
Yes.
think this I
W
might use more.
yeah. Would you like to breathe or tell us about your day? No, I'm busy. Go away.
Exactly. No, I would love to, but then like 10 seconds later, my brain went, oh, squirrel, and I'm somewhere else. And I think this is really the strength of this, because it is this immersive thing, it literally like you get can't focus on this thing because you don't get distracted by by the rest of the world, basically. So don't do it if you're in an environment where you're not safe. And I think it shows you in the warning before the first time. But yeah, so that was actually pretty cool. I said other than that, couldn't do much because connectivity was spotty and slow, and yeah, but I did try a few things here and there. Took a video, took a screenshot, yeah, these are the things. So battery, because I didn't use it all that much, lasted the entire 4-hour train ride, but I used it maybe yeah, hour and a half to maybe 2 hours in total.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hoping Apple opens that connector up for third-party opportunities. Yeah, just give me like the entire battery belt.
I mean, technically you can do that. So that's why, I mean, two of the reasons why it wasn't a problem for me. One, I had power on my seat, so I could have literally just plugged in if I wanted to. But I also had the cool thing from last week, like I had that I didn't need at the end because I wasn't
Oh
using it that
yeah,
much.
that
The Anker
the
Prime
mo the yeah the
battery.
mobile car battery.
Yes, and I could have literally at any point just plugged that into the Apple battery and it would have kept going. Because the disadvantage of the Apple thing, and that's why I didn't buy a second one, was that you have to shut down the device. Because when you disconnect, it shuts down and then it has to reboot and reauthenticate and all of that. Like you have to put in your PIN and all of that. And I don't see the point in that because I can literally connect another battery to it and keep going or plug it in, like easy. Yeah, so that's mostly what I remember. I'm overall for the whatever 2 hours that I've used AirVision Pro, very impressed. Very early for sure. There's tons of stuff I'm still figuring out, but I noticed that I'm getting better also with the gestures and so on. I mean, they were really intuitive, to be honest. We've heard about them for like a million times already, so I kind of knew what the gestures would be, but it felt really intuitive to do it at some point. So that's actually really well designed. So my thing is, as I said, unless you're the type of person who is like, I know if I do the demo, I'll buy it and I can't afford it, or I don't want to buy it, I would say, unless you're that person, go to the store, do the 30-minute demo. I think they're offering extended demos. They didn't in the store, but I understand it because launch day. It was busy. There were tons of people there picking up, like at least 15 people there when I was there picking up Vision Pros. So means they had enough. It wasn't the launch day with like, oh, there's like 3 devices to pick up. And also means that there is some demand for them in Germany. So yeah. And I have it here. So
Yes.
don't
And
have to show it. I mean, you've seen it. Like it's. Yeah. By the
yes.
way, materials, it feels really nice and solid. It is for sure heavier, and we know that already, than others, like the Quest and so on, because it's using more materials. But it feels like all the materials feel really nice, really soft, really solid, and that's a typical Apple product. So really, really impressed. I mean, should be because it's really expensive, but I'm really impressed. I did go the biggest version. Like I have the terabyte space because I want to watch a lot of videos. And I have with my iPad, I run into the problem that when I'm traveling a week in Portugal, that I don't have enough space on my iPad to watch like all the shows that I want to watch. So with this, not a problem.
Have you had a chance to connect it to your Mac via virtual display mode yet?
Did not have time for that. Literally came in 10 minutes before the show, did not have time to do
Okay.
anything else. I've not updated it to the I will update it to the beta. I will connect it to my Mac. I will download all the apps and try them. And next week I'll probably have a more
Yes.
comprehensive view. This is literally, as I said, train ride from Munich to Vienna and the demo in the store.
So do you hear that, Apple? no news next week. No news.
Exactly, nothing happening. Yeah, I think
Yes.
we have a couple minutes to do one story. Which one do you want to do, Ben? Anything for you? Because I've been talking, so let's have you pick
Yeah.
your story.
Maybe, I don't know if maybe we should do this next week because it deserves way more time. But I will do a very quick rundown without the anger. Okay, so some of us remember a site called the unofficial Apple weblog, or TUWA. This week, a company called WebOrange, I want to call it Orange Theory, but that's something else, bought the unofficial weblog domain. I'm emphasizing domain because we have confirmed this, that Engadget still owns the Tuwa archives and content. That's going to be going come into play too. Turned it into basically an AR farm. Well,
AI, not
no,
AR.
yeah. I wish it was an AR farm. That'd be awesome.
That would be more
But
interesting.
yeah, but they made two mistakes. Number one, they went and skimmed up all of the articles, which, yeah, Engadget still owns. Yeah, it is not WebOrange's content. It is Engadget's content. And more egregiously, they used the original authors and attributed to them to these AI rewritten articles. So you have real people's names attached to these, real people's names in the articles. And you want to know whose permission they sought for anybody for any of it? Nobody's.
Nobody's. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Which
you
is
had
in
so
the
you,
AI world quite normal, I would say. Sure. No,
But I mean,
I mean, they literally stole the entire site, like the
yeah.
design, everything. Like the whole site looks exactly like Tua looked back then. And then they just replaced the content with their crap and everything else. Like the people, I mean, some people were left off for some reason. I heard some that were contributors and were on the page and were not mentioned.
Yeah.
But like the key people, I mean, Christina and so on were there.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we were talking about this in the pre-show. They didn't use the actual people's p they didn't
No.
actually use the people's face or
Pictures.
headshots for this.
Yeah,
They
yes.
used
Again, AI crap.
AI generated emoji.
No,
Well,
it was real photo, like real
yeah.
headshots. Like it looked like
Yeah.
real headshots, but it was like AI generated.
Yeah. So Christina took the fake AI headshot and used it as her profile picture.
Yeah, on Slack and like social media and so on. So that's peak Christina. It's like that's just
Yeah.
her. No, but I
But
mean, I don't know what they were thinking. I mean,
yeah.
I already have a problem with the whole let's buy the site and then y basically use their reputation to like, I don't know what the goal was, have some ad revenue. I don't know what they were even trying to do.
Yeah, Verizon slash AOL Tech probably should have maybe say contacted the original people they intended to sell it, see if
Yes. If
they
they
would be
wanted to.
interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the other thing. Number one, this isn't a moral gray area. This is definitely well into the black. This is
Yes.
completely and utterly unethical.
Yes.
Yeah, the other part about it is, it might be in the black area legally as well, because you are using people's brands. You are
Yeah.
using content that they're using content that does not belong to them.
I think that's the bigger problem. I think the names, and because the picture is different, I think they could probably argue it away and say, yeah, but it's a different person that just has the same name as that person. I think that might be, I mean, also hard to argue, but I think they might succeed with that. At
Yeah,
least that's
but
what I would guess. I'm not legal expert at all,
yeah.
but I would guess that probably they could get away with that. But like, if you add all the other stuff they've done, I think that would still not be
Oh
enough.
yeah. Yeah, I mean plus, I mean Engadget has written an article on this. They know about it, and you can bet money that they'll be hearing from their legal team.
Yes. Yeah. They have since changed the name, slightly changed the names. So I don't
Yeah.
remember, but Terpstra is like, I think now some other Terpstra, I think some Paul
Yeah.
Terpstra or something, like something else, just changed the first name. I think Christina's name was completely changed, if I
Yeah,
remember
like Mary
correctly.
Sue, Bob,
Yeah, something
Joe,
like
something.
that. Yeah. So it's really, let me see. I'll open the page again. I don't want to really do it, but I'll do it.
Yeah, I don't
And
want to
just
give them
see.
ad money.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But let's see if I can't find them. Team of writers and editors. Yeah, Paul Terpstra. Mary Brown. That's Christina
Yeah.
now. Yeah. So. Yeah, the Paul Terpstra. That's the one. I'm like, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I just with a name as high profile as Tua, I wonder how they ever thought they wouldn't get caught.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the thing. And I mean, also, like, they're using the I think they're using the original logo, and I'm like, that's probably still protected, I would assume.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah,
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
still don't know what the end game here even was. Like, why?
No.
Like, what do they get out of that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, in legal costs, it might actually end up costing them more than they get out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, unless legal is not a problem. I mean, could be if it's, but right now it doesn't look like it, but it could be like, oh, like let's build up a site, have some AI content, and then push malware or something, like
Yeah.
some other thing. Okay, then they don't care about legal because, yeah.
Well, I mean, Orange is an advertising firm.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm like, that's probably not.
They've done this to other sites, including iLounge.
Yeah, so I don't know. I still don't get
Yeah.
but you know what
But
I'm
it's,
getting?
yeah, I mean, someone who will never act unethically. TSO
Yeah,
host.
exactly. So we have, of course, our very trusted sponsor this week again for everything on the British Tech Network, and that is the awesome people from TSO Host. So if you are looking for a hosting company, like WordPress site, domain names, emails, servers, like whatever you need for your hosting needs, they're a really, 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 really good company. All of BTN basically is running off two servers of theirs. Not even the latest versions, because we just haven't bothered to upgrade, and we never asked for an upgrade because they're so generous with like what they're providing, and they work. I know they have more powerful and more up-to-date servers these days, but we don't need them. But they're really so solid. I've never had a problem with them. Like all the problems that we had, there were two things. Once we had a problem with a £0 invoice, that was like a really exception because we don't pay for them, but the system couldn't handle that. That was solved really quickly. And anything else was always me messing something up and something, whatever, crashing, Nginx crashing, and the site not being up. So it's always been me. Usually me doing something bad and then doesn't work. So it's just a really good company, and
Yes.
all they want for their support is a little bit of brand recognition. So, if you if you want to support BDN and if you want to support like them supporting us, them being Teaser host, just head to social media, like whatever social media you're on, and simply say, "Hey, Teaser host, thank you for supporting British Tech Network, and like you're a really good company," and that's literally all they want. So head over to Teaser host and check them out. And if you do so, we have a really cool like an offer code that is BTN20, BTN20. And if you use
Yep.
that, you get 20% off everything on their site.
Yep. And you, if you happen to forget that and want to know it later, it's in the chat.
Nice. Thank you. Speaking of the chat, Ben, can you explain to the people where they can find our awesome new chat?
I'm going to hope I don't screw this up because you just changed it all. But there used to
Blame
be
me.
multiple. Yeah, there used to be multiple things that you could go to, blah 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 blah. Well, the good news is, if you want to access a live chat, that's all at live.britishtechnetwork.com now. So you don't have to go 1,000 different places. But let's just say you are not here. We understand you probably have things like work and lesser priorities, but things happen. You can't always watch live, but we'll just say, hey, we want all those links and stuff that they talked about in the chat with BT or TSL host and all the cool things and all the articles. Well, guess what? You can just go to britishtechnetworker.com/chat. Did I get that right?
You did. Very good.
Thank God, that was a 50-50 shot. And you just click on today's date. There'll be like a nice little ch chart there. You just
A
click on the correct date.
calendar, you
And
mean?
then, yeah, the entire, yeah, well, calendar, yeah. Then the entire chat transcript will be there. In fact, this is so powerful, our integration right now. It is transcribing that in real time.
Yes.
So let's just say I went to British Tech. Blah, I can't type and talk at the same time. Network. com/chat and put it in the chat. If you went to that archive right now at britishtechnetwork.com/chat, well, you get to. That would be in there right now.
Yes. It is literally in there right now.
Yes. It's like li working on it's like living in a real life version of instant cassettes from Spaceballs.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah,
Wow.
so Patrice, when will then be now?
Now. Yeah, that's so cool. Speaking of, thank you, Ben, for doing that. We're spot on, really good. So you can do it. It's just Jeff who can't. But speaking
Yes.
of cool things, we have some time. We should do some cool things. So
Yes.
what is your cool thing?
Well, my cool thing is this little thing that dropped and then took over my entire life. Also known as Star Trek Prodigy Season 2.
That is literally a really cool thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
There's
I'm.
going to be it is a great storyline. This show is not just for kids. There's going to be callbacks to every era of Star Trek in here. I almost said Star Wars. The Force was not with me.
It was
And
not, no.
it is just really, really great. And I mean, it's just one of the many great options you can get right now on Netflix. I mean, you have Prodigy Season 2 here, which what idiot Paramount gave that show
Yes.
up?
I still don't get it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah.
you have this great like ecosystem, like universe of Star Trek shows. Everything from Star Trek is on Paramount Plus, except for this. I'm like,
Yes.
why? So ridiculous.
And you'll be watching 9 to 10 hours of content in
Yes.
order because it's that compelling.
Yes. I
And
think
right at
you recommended it last week, I think,
Oh
to
shit, I
me.
did.
No, at
Yeah,
least
oh
to me.
yeah.
I don't know if you did it on the show, but you did it to me. And I'm like, well, there goes my weekend. And literally, that's
It
what happened.
did.
I was done.
That
Well,
yeah.
that's not the entire weekend because I was done on Saturday afternoon. So, but
Yes.
at least Friday, Saturday was basically done. Like, it's all I watched. It was that good.
Yes. And I have to say the big twist in the middle of the season, I really enjoyed that.
Me too. Me
Yeah.
too.
And I mean the starship design, the Voyager A is exactly what you'd kind of hope for.
Yes.
I mean it's much larger than the Intrepid class version, which means why it mixes design elements of not just the Intrepid class, the Lamar class does, but it also brings in a lot of Sovereign class elements.
No, the story, I mean, I was so happy to see Voyager. I was so happy to see some of the Voyager crew as well, which was really cool and really unexpected. I did
Yes.
know nothing about the show beforehand because I didn't want to get anything spoiled. I just wanted to enjoy it, and it was
Yeah.
really good. And I loved the ending, and I'm like, please, please, please do a third season, please.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah,
that good.
and I kind of like how they on the fly just kind of went like, okay, we have these other Star Trek shows set in the same p time period. We're not only going to incorporate that, we are actually going to talk to the creators.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's confirmed they went out and talked to Terry Metalis. They went out and talked to Mike McMahon.
And you
They,
see that this
yeah.
it like there's subtle little things that kind of weave everything together and weave it
Yeah.
together with the rest. I mean, there's references to Picard, like Star Trek Picard show, and for sure Voyager and so on. There's so many little things here and there.
Yeah, and not only that, okay, I'm going to give one slight spoiler here. You do see Cetacean Ops because, well, you've
Yeah,
seen the trailer.
yes.
Yes. The whale Gillian is a double reference.
Yes.
Because number one, she is obviously a callback to Star Trek IV, the one with the
Yes.
whales.
The one with the whales, exactly. And the name as well, right? It's
Yep,
not just
not
the
only
whale, it's
that,
also the name. It's...
but yeah, Jillian is canonically the granddaughter of George and Gracie. So her parents, aka George and Gracie's child, who Gracie was pregnant with in the movie, specifically named her after Dr. Jillian Taylor.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so that's it's just so good. And
Yeah.
it's really it's not it's and it's supposed to be a kid show, but it's really for adults as well, because there's
Yeah.
so much like intrigue and mystery and stuff happening,
Yeah.
and I mean, as I said, I couldn't stop. I
Yeah,
did stop a little
they
bit in between because I fell asleep, but that wasn't because of the
Yeah.
show. I was just exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah, I they honestly took everything we knew from what Star Wars did with the Clone Wars and Rebels and incorporated it brilliantly into Star Trek.
Yeah, really, really good one. And since we're talking about Star Trek, and actually did want to pick Discovery this week, did want to pick Prodigy this week, I'm picking Discovery instead because that was the other thing. Yes, I could pick WandaVision Pro, that would be too obvious. We just talked about it for so long. So let's do something else. So mine is a Star Trek Discovery episode, book, not episode, book. And it is Star Trek Discovery, The Way to the Stars. And it is a rare and really cool Tilly book. Because it is basically about Sylvia Tilly, in its inexperienced Starfleet cadet, and how she became like an essential part of Discovery, like how she met like how she met Burnham and so on. And like, it's really about her. Where did she, like, how did she find the courage? How did she get to the point where she is when we see her in Discovery? And that's a really, really cool story. It's like it starts when she is 16. And like her struggles with her parents, like which we heard in the show at some point, she talked a little bit about that, especially in later seasons, but also early on, her struggles with her parents, and that her parents kind of wanted a different path for her. And then, yeah, she decided she would not do that and rebel against it. And then later on, we realized that that rebelling was still following the same path, basically. And so, spoilers for basically Discovery, but it's like this goes before that and shows like where did that come from and what happened really. And it's a really good book, really interesting, really cool stories. Not just about her, there's also like a lot of action stuff happening, and she really has to grow up pretty quickly because of that. But it's a really good book. So book four of the Discovery series, and written by Una McCormack, which some of you might know because she's written some other really good books in the Star Trek universe.
And number one from Star Trek Strange New Worlds slash Discovery Season 2 is literally named after this author.
Yes.
But I mean, the other thing is, let's be honest, this is relatable. Because Tilly, well, there's lots of people in the real world that basically rebel about the re rebel from against their parents, go out, join the service,
Yes.
and then just kind of have to find themselves in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. That's it's super relatable. I think it happened a lot, and it's as I said. And then I mean, how does she grow up? And like, I mean, she goes from a 16-year-old, and I mean, it's not a 16-year-old in like today's world. It is a 16-year-old in the Star Trek world, where there is tons of planets and like interplanetary politics and wars and stuff going on. And like, how does a 16-year-old deal with all of that and have these like parents that kind of have a plan for her and are very, yeah, problematic in a lot of ways and very overbearing, like her mother especially. And like, how does she deal with that? So really good book. 8.5 hours is not the longest book in the series. Like others were like 10, 11 hours, but it's 8.5 hours, really well spent. It's a really good book. Highly, highly recommended. And I just love, because Discovery is really my favorite, like Star Trek right now. I just love filling in those gaps. I'm literally listening to another book right now about Burnham and like the time that I really want a show out of. The time between Burnham ending in the 32nd century, I think, and like when she basically arrives and Discovery arrives, that time frame, there's like a gap in between where she has to kind of fend her own and kind of figure out what's going on. And that's a really interesting era that we skip over basically in Discovery.
And I mean, here's the thing with this, with Star Trek, there is no such thing as a canon book. That said, since Star Trek Discovery has added, you can definitely use this as head canon to better understand the characters.
Yeah, and I mean those books, I mean the interesting thing about those books is those are officially sanctioned books. That's why they can have the Star Trek Discovery title and everything. Like this is a thing, has been a thing for a long time. And you see sometimes that stuff that gets mentioned or done in books and stories get told, that they get picked up later in the shows or in other shows, like sometimes. So they do count. Like it's not that, oh, this is an extra story and it doesn't matter. No, there's like things that happen that then later on you see in the show. It's like, oh yeah, they did that too. Like they took scenes out of it, or they referenced it somehow or something. But it's very clear this came from the book originally. And that's super interesting.
Specifically for Discovery, Detmer was actually named by the author David Mack.
Yes. Yeah, there's a
They
really good book
kept,
for that as well, by the way.
yeah, they kept her name of Kayla for the show.
Yes. It is one of the recent books was actually about her and like what happened to her and all of that. So
As well as her origin, because if you remember the episode where the Universal Translator
Oh yeah.
briefly goes down,
Yes.
she's very clearly speaking German.
Yes, she is. Amongst other languages, but yes. Yeah, it's sad. It's a really, really, really good book. The Way to the Story, Star Trek Discovery, highly recommended. I think we're done. This is the end of the
Yes,
show, Ben. So thank you so much for like sticking with us and being here with me so we could do the show. I was kind of dreading. I'm like, oh, we won't have shows this week, and I really wanted people to have that, and so we did. So yay. So where can people find out more about you?
well, you can find me on social media, Ben Rathig. Threads and Instagram, that's kind of a up in the air thing right now.
Yes. If you know,
But
if you
all
want to
other
know
social
more, you should
media,
have listened to the pre-show.
yes. You can find my writings at rathigtech.com
Nice.
or
Highly recommend.
rathigtech.blog or rathig.tech, wherever you prefer.
Yeah, I would say rethink.tech sounds good.
Yes. Yeah, it all goes to the same place.
Yeah, highly recommended. I
On
always enjoy your reading, so I definitely
yep
worth going there.
on Tuesdays you can find me on Mac Voices Vo Voices
Mac forces.
yeah Mac Voices Live. I can't speak English.
Maybe it's a different English dialect. I don't
Yes, yeah, it's the one that my very German my very German great grandparents would have used, where they tried to insert an R into every word that didn't have one.
Yeah, see?
Yes. Yep. Mac Voices Live on Thursday nights, except for when they're leaving me behind, where they're all going to party in Chicago. You can find me on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. This week is going to be a very special live from Mac Stock Edition. We're not invited. That's why we're here. And also every Thursday and Friday, you can find me here on the British Tech Network. See, I can roll the R's.
Yeah, you do. Better
Yes.
than I because I can't roll R's for anything. So,
Yeah, because I was going to make the Robin Hood Men in Tights joke, that unlike some other host, I can speak with an English accent. No, I can't.
well,
Maybe do Irish, but
I think that was quite good.
yes.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. And people can find me in about probably an hour on my sofa with my Vision Pro. I have to eat something, I'm hungry. But after that, I'll be there. You can find me usually every week here on the British Tech Network on Thursdays and on Thursdays on the big show. Wow, that was hard. Words are hard today, Ben. I think it's just one of those days for all of us. Yeah, where we talk about non-Apple tech, so gaming, Windows, Android, space, cars, chips, design, like you name it, like all kinds of different things. It's always super interesting. So highly recommend checking out that show if you haven't done so already. And
Yes,
for sure.
and we do apologize for not having a big show yesterday, but there were technical issues that couldn't be overcome
Yeah,
in time
which
for the
is
show.
very on par with like just British Tech Network. Sometimes we have
Yes.
technical difficulties and we go through them and we'll work them out next time, but we'll be better. And yeah, Fridays on the Mac show, as you can hear right now. I'm usually here unless I'm traveling and I'm once a month I'm in Portugal, so then I can't do the show.
Yes.
Yeah, everything I'm
We li
doing. Yes. Do you wanted to say
No, never
something?
mind.
Okay.
No, I
Yeah,
forgot. I
every
literally forgot what I was going to say.
Good. Yeah, everything I'm doing you can find on my website, thepatrice.com. And I have a really cool show, new show with that other I host, Jeff Gamet, called Retro Rewatch, where we rewatch retro shows that Jeff has never seen before, despite them being around for a long time, and he kind of the kind of person he is, he should have really seen them, like Stargate SG-1, which we're watching right now. We just published the other week Emancipation, in my opinion, one of the worst episodes of the entire show. So yay. But we had a lot to talk about because, you know, when the episode is bad, there's usually tons to talk about. And that's what we did. We re even rewrote, or Jeff rewrote some parts of the episode. He was like, this is click, this is what we should have done. This would have been better. That's a lot of fun. Like, if you can live, and this wasn't planned. We didn't plan it. He just said, like, okay, I have an idea. Let's do it this way. So he live rewrites episodes now. So that's really fun.
Yes.
So retrorewatch.com. Every 2 weeks, there's a new episode. So the next one will be out next week, Friday.
Yes. And you can now find all these links in the chat.
Yay. And with that, thanks again, Ben, for being here. Thank everybody for listening. Thanks, Ewan, for still letting us do this. Thank you, Apple,
Hopefully he
for.
knows.
I hope he knows. I don't know. Thank you, Apple, for making sure that I get my Vision Pro and we had something to talk about today. Now we would have had something to talk about anyway. Like, it's as if that has ever stopped us. So there's that. No, but thanks anyway, everybody. And yeah, talk to you next week. Take care.